36. 36?
36.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Udirayet.
Tato Jayam Udirayet.
Oh, chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill, Text Number 36. Tasmai namo brajajanai.
Tasmai namo brajajanai.
Saha chakra atmatmane.
Saha chakra atmatmane.
Saha chakra atmanatmane.
Saha chakra atmanatmane.
Aho pashyata shailo sao. Aho pashyata shailo sao.
Aho pashyata shailo sao.
Rupino nugraham yadat.
Rupino nugraham yadat.
Rupino nugraham yadat.
Rupino nugraham yadat.
Tasmai namo brajajanai.
Tasmai namo brajajanai.
Saha chakra atmanatmane.
Saha chakra
Aho pasyata shailo sao.
Aho pasyata shailo sao.
Rupino nugraham yadat.
Rupino nugraham yadat.
Tasmai namo brajajanai.
Tasmai namo brajajanai. Obeisances. Brajajanai.
Brajajanai.
With the people of Braj.
With the people of Braj.
Saha.
Saha.
Together.
Together.
Chakre.
Chakre.
He made.
He made.
Atmana.
Atmana.
By himself.
By himself.
Atmane.
Atmane.
To himself.
To himself.
Aho.
Aho.
Ah. Pashyata.
Pashyata.
Tasi.
Tasi.
Shaila.
Shaila.
Hill.
Hill.
Asau.
Asau.
This.
This.
Rupi.
Rupi.
Manifest in person.
Manifest in
person.
Na.
Na. Upon us.
Upon us.
Anugraham.
Anugraham.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Yadat.
Yadat.
Has bestowed.
Has
bestowed. Translation of purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, together with the people of Braja, the Lord bowed down to this form of Govardhan Hill, thus in effect offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. Please repeat, together with the people of Braja.
Together with the people of
the Lord bowed down to this form
of
Govardhan
Hill,
thus in effect offering obeisances to himself.
Then he said,
just see how this hill has appeared
in person
and bestowed mercy upon us. Purport, it is clear from this verse that Lord Krishna had expanded himself and was appearing in his normal form among the festival goers of Vrindavan, while simultaneously manifesting himself as the great form of Govardhan Hill. Thus, in his form as a child, Krishna led the residents of Vrindavan in bowing down to his new incarnation as Govardhan Hill, and to all he pointed out the great mercy bestowed by this divine form of Govardhan. Lord Krishna's amazing transcendental activities were certainly in keeping with the festive atmosphere. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakturandritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tati Svatadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Dishatarani Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Together with the people of Braja, the Lord bowed down to this form of Govardhan Hill, thus in effect offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. So we used to have sometimes discussion. Here we're talking how Krishna offered obeisances in effect to himself, as in the previous verse, it's Krishna, Krishna in the form of Govardhan Hill says, Silosmi, I am Govardhan Hill. But if we go back a couple chapters, gopis, they glorify Govardhan Hill. Ahantaya Madhura Bala Haridasa Varya. There they use the word this Haridasa Varya for Govardhan Hill, which very simple, Haridas means, of course, servant of Hari, and Varya means greatest, the greatest servant of Lord Hari. So we used to sometimes discuss, how is this possible that Krishna is, that Govardhan Hill is the greatest servant and he's also Krishna? How is it possible that these two things are going on at the same time? So what is Govardhan Hill? Actually, we had one time some answer to this question by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, which was very interesting. He said that, who is the best servant of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, you know. And at the same time, Govardhan Hill is Krishna. So who is the form of that we know that is a combined form of Radha and Krishna? That is Lord Chaitanya. So he decided, oh yes, excuse me. So he said like this, that this is Govardhan Hill is a form of Lord Chaitanya, like that. So, of course, this is, huh? Anyway, we're going to explain a little bit. That yesterday was interesting on a more mundane level that we see in the on CNN and the internet. They had discussion. An article was there that are we worshiping the same God? That was the discussion. That mostly, I think they were dealing with this Judaism, Christianity, and Muslim. How they all have their roots with Abraham or something like that. But it doesn't matter whether you just take these three or if you take all the religions. Are we worshiping the same God? So, of course, there's different opinions, as there's likely to be on such topics. Religion and politics always have so many controversies like that. And we don't take, of course, I just confirmed with our God brother, Dhritarashtra, like that. He worships the two Govardhan Shilas, Radha Krishna. And we have another sannyasi that we know comes here. He worships two Govardhan Shilas, Krishna Balaram. I don't know, Shesha Prabhu is worshiping also, how they're, what type of mood they have. But actually, Krishna, he reciprocates the moves of his devotees. Krishna appears before the devotee and he reciprocates in the feeling that the devotee has for him. That is actually the reconciliation, how we see that sometimes someone has different types of moods and someone has. So we can't say that one mood is wrong. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about in Krishna Samhita how this so many differences are there in different religious communities like that. He says that sectarianism is a natural byproduct of the absolute truth. When acharyas first ascertain and instruct, because truth has to be one in sense that. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Can't change that 2 plus 2 equals 5 on your own whim. It's not truth. So when acharyas first ascertain and instruct the truth, it is not polluted with sectarianism, but the rules and regulations received through disciplic succession regarding the goal and method of achieving it are changed in due course of time according to the mentality and locale of the people. And here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a footnote of to substantiate this statement. He quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, basically substantiating that statement. So then he goes on, a rule that is followed by one society is not necessarily accepted in another society. That is why one community is different from another. As a community gradually develops more respect for its own standards, it develops hatred towards other communities and considers their standards inferior. These sectarian symptoms are seen in all countries since time immemorial. Then he breaks it down into different types of standards like that. And later on, he says that due to these differences, there is disagreement, cessation of social intercourse, and fighting, even up to the point of killing one another. But when an ass-like mentality becomes prominent within the Kanishtha Adhikaris, they certainly indulge in these things. But if they develop a swan-like mentality, then they do not take part in quarrels, rather they endeavor to attain a higher level. Madhyamadikaris do not quarrel so much about external standards, but they are always attacked by philosophical disagreements. So we may have differences, that is natural, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has that statement like that. But this is the, whether Govardhan Hill is Krishna or whether he's his best servant, that is, both statements are there, and one has, can take recourse by reconciling these things by the one's own bhava like that. That is these straight statements like that, that Krishna is called bhava grahi janardana. He accepts the mood of his devotee. And actually there's a very nice praman, just evidence like that, that the verse is there in the third canto, tvam bhakti yoga paribhavata visaroja ase shritikshita pato nanunata pumsam yad yadya ta arugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vapur pranayase sadanugrahaya. It says the great devotee, the advanced devotee, Mahabhagavat, certainly sees, oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So here the catchphrase like that is paribhavata, that being 100% engaged. If someone is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotion to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates with his mood. That doesn't mean that, in other words means to say that Krishna has not become the order supplier of anyone and everyone. Krishna is not the order supplier, or is he take that role, but he reciprocates with his devotees out of love and devotion. That if someone worships Krishna in one particular way, that we have that in Bhagavad Gita, we have that verse is there, Pitaham Asya Jagato Mata Data Pitamaha, that Krishna is the father and the mother, the grandsire, the support. He takes all these different roles. How is that in relationship to the devotee's mood of worshiping him? So one worships Krishna as a master, someone worships Krishna, someone takes Krishna as his best friend, someone worships Krishna as his child, and Krishna reciprocates in all these different ways. That is his greatness, that he's called Rasaraj. Rasaraj means the king of transcendental mellows, and he knows how to exactly reciprocate perfectly with every devotee according to their mood of love. So here, of course, Govardhan Hill is reciprocating with the Brijvasis who have given up their worship of King Indra. They've taken that, actually, externally we could say that in we know what's coming up in the next chapter, how King Indra sends these great storms to destroy the inhabitants of Vrindavan. These Samvartika clouds, they're the same clouds that are utilized at the time of universal devastation to destroy the whole universe like that. But the Brijvasis, they don't care. That is the, also, we've seen in the pastime of Agasura that the demigods were very afraid of this demon, Agasura, but the cowherd boys, they just simply look back at Krishna's lotus-like face, clap their hands, and walk straight into the mouth of Agasura without any fear. Even though the demigods, it's described that they're drinking nectar every day, they're supposed to be immortal. They're called actually Amara, means immortal. But they are still have some doubt like that. Whereas the cowherd boys, they have no fear because they've taken shelter of Krishna. They say this song is there, Bhajahuremana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanara Gindriya. That these lotus feet of Krishna, they're called Abhaya Charanara Gindriya. Srila Prabhupada's name is like that. So, actually we've seen that sometimes even there's one place in between Nandagram and Varshana called Sanket that we have one temple is there, Sankat Devi, that is Yoga Maya. But if you go to that temple, you'll see that this deity looks exactly like Durga. If you go anywhere else outside of Braj and you see these Durga, the same form is there at Sankat, but they call it Yoga Maya. It's right next to the Bhajan Kutir of Gopal Bhakta Goswami. And they say like that. And also, I think another place there is Nari Saran, same Mari, and that Yogapith, the Radha Govinda temple, the Yogamaya deity that was found by Srila Rupa Goswami, looks just like Durga. But they say Yogamaya because their mood is like that. That even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that this deity, this big statue is there at Kanyakumari. So everyone accepts that this Kanyakumari is the form of Durga. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that no, this is Lakshmi. She's the Sindhu, the daughter of the ocean. Sometimes one of our god brothers, they say that this, he was saying that she was one of the gopis looking up towards Vrindavan like that. So this way, according to one's mood, one sees one's worshipable object like that. It's actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's also mentioned that that this stavara jangama deki na deki taramurti sarvata haya nija sarvata spurya to you. Haya ishta deva murti. Ishta deva means one's worshipable object. So the great devotee, he sees like that, that stavara jangama deki, that we see external world moving and non-moving things. Stavara jangama means moving and unmoving, non-moving. Deke, not Deke Taramurti. He doesn't see exactly that form. The advanced devotee Mahabhagavat, he doesn't see exactly the form, but rather he sees this Ishtadeva Spurti, that he sees the form of his Ishtadeva. Ishtadeva means his worshipable deity. So wherever he sees his worshipful deity, he sees that everything, how is everything related with his worshipable Lord. Of course, that's not to be imitated, nor can be artificial, but that actual, just like Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, what does that know? That he gives faith to the devotees of the demigods, the worshippers of the demigods. He also gives them faith so that they can worship nicely those demigods like that. He's situated in everyone's heart, and he can give that faith to the people so that whatever type of, and similarly he gives even to the atheists, those who want to forget Krishna, he gives them. Mata Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. He gives that forgetfulness or remembrance of, he gives some intelligence how to deny his existence like that. So this way, there's also one last evidence that we want to give for this seeing Krishna in different terms. A very famous verse that describes when Krishna was entering the wrestling arena. When Krishna entered the wrestling arena in Mathura, that there were so many different people different classes of people that were observing him in that way. And it's described that as malanam ashanir nirnam naravara strinam smaro murtiman gopanam svajano satam chitibujam chastas vapitro shishu mrityur bojapater virad avidusham tatvam param yoginam vrishninam paradevateti vidito sangam gata sagraja. That's described that the various groups of the people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. First there was the wrestlers. The wrestlers, they saw Krishna like a lightning bolt, Ashnir. And the men of Mathura, Naravara, again that Vara means the best of men. The men of Mathura saw Krishna as the best of all men. And the women there, they saw Krishna as Smara, Murtiman, the incarnation of Cupid, so attractive. And the coward men, they saw Krishna Swadana, their relative. It was how they're related with him. And then we have the impious rulers, they saw him as a chastiser, Shasta, the punisher. And his parents, they saw him, of course, as their son, as their child. The king of the Bhojas, they saw him as death personified. The unintelligent saw the unintelligent as the Supreme Lord's universal form. And the yogis, they saw him as the absolute truth. And the Vrishnis saw Krishna as their supreme worshipable deity. So Krishna is manifest as one supreme absolute truth, but at the same time, we have this Brahma Samhita describes that Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam, that he has so many manifests in so many different forms, and even in one form, he appears in different ways to different people according to their bhava like that. So, not wrong to think of Krishna, to think of Govardhan Hill as Krishna himself or as Krishna's greatest devotee. There is also that verse is there that, anyway, that's all right. So anyway, well, I think we'll stop there. If anyone has any comments or questions, they can discuss it. Alright, Shriva Prabhupada.
Hare Bhagman, you were talking about the other religionists and how they would tend to criticize other faiths, support theirs, and criticize others.
I've hardly understood anything yet.
No, I'm saying that earlier you were talking about the, there was something in the article or something about the religions where, criticizing one another.
I didn't read the article actually, but I just saw the headlines like that. I read maybe one or two sentences. There was some agreement and some disagreement, of course, as there naturally is. Some people saying they're worshiping the same God, and some people said no.
Of course, yeah. At the same time, it is important for this religion to function, for example, Christianity or Islam, to some degree. Because if there wasn't Christianity, then we would have a bunch of barbarians, you know, slaughtering and killing and stuff. If there wasn't Islam, desert dwellers, it would be like desert killers, you know. So it is essential at this age for them to exist, you know. But at the same time, of course, we know that Krishna consciousness is the ultimate, and eventually, I mean, it would dominate the world. But if weren't for these other religions, then all these disciplines would not be there, you know.
Srila Prabhupada made things very simple sometimes. He just said, one man's food is another man's poison. And in the third canto, or the first canto, later on, 16th or 17th chapter or something, he describes how there's different prescriptions, Vedic prescriptions, just like even marriage. That for someone who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, marriage cannot be considered like a sannyasi. To get married, of course, is considered a fall down, but for general people, this is one of the sanskaras, purificatory processes to get married.
Go ahead. Just two comments. One on this point here, that I thought you know, before you were reading about that, he concludes it with understanding principle in detail. And he said, if you see that there's the principle is eternal and universal, but how you apply it to each time and circumstance, that's the detail.
Uh-huh.
So they argue over the details, but the unifying aspect is the principle, and that's the peacemaker.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada, he was asked once about comparative religions. This religion says this, this one says this, the Hare Krishna, you say that, and Prabhupada stopped him and he says, no, he says, Krishna says this, and they understand this much of it. So he put it in a system that there's an understanding, but it only goes so far because of their degree of surrender under the mode of nature.
I don't know, Srila Prabhupada compared it with like mathematics or like that science. You have 2 + 2 = 4 or something, and then you go up to calculus like that. Both are.
Hey, Prabhupada, I wonder if you could explain this. Prabhupada said in every Kali Yuga, the Muslim and Christian religions appear to harass the devotees, to harass the Vaishnavas. So how would you explain that one?
Where did he say that?
I read that, actually.
Yeah.
Exactly where, but.
Well, in the material world, of course, the devotees are going to get harassed. That is the nature. And that Krishna has that he allows that to happen just to show to make the devotees also faith strong. If someone thinks that he can go back to Godhead very simple without any difficulties, it's either he's very pure-hearted or an illusion like that. Because generally we have so many attachments, and those attachments have to be broken. So Krishna breaks those attachments for his devotees by putting him through so many tests. Maya, of course, is testing the devotee. She doesn't want to have anyone disturbing him. One has to be very pure. Like that. Yes, Mahatma Prabhu.
The statement of Trivikram Prabhu that if it wasn't for what did you say? If it wasn't for Christianity, we wouldn't be able to. What was the next? If it wasn't for Christianity, we wouldn't. Then Krishna consciousness couldn't be successful because people would be irreligious, something like that. There had to be some religious system for I don't know if that's wrong, and I want to question that assumption, so I just want to throw that out. Because at least my experience, I think all of our experiences as preaching, if you meet somebody that's a very dedicated Christian, number one, they're not receptive to Krishna consciousness, and number two, they're often blasphemous or extremely critical. So in another sense, it seems they're the worst people to preach to, and it would seem... It is when you meet people who are so-called spiritual but not so religious, they're more open to Krishna consciousness. That may not entirely be true. They're, you know, obviously there are religious people that have become devotees. So I just wanted to throw that out. Like, if Jesus Christ didn't come, would we have trouble spreading Krishna consciousness now, or would it actually be easier because they'd have no religion and they'd say, oh, finally we have religion?
There was a comment on Okay. Prabhupada did mention about Rathayatra, and he did give some credence to Lord Jesus Christ coming and saying that it's because of him coming that we can have Rathayatra.
All right.
That is a statement. So.
I would agree with this. Okay. I had the opportunity to be on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and I asked him a similar question about Christianity and how at least to just sort of organize society so that because there was some organization, well, then we could come and give them prior knowledge. And he stuck to, I mean, he came back with, they're killing animals.
Uh-huh.
And he would not move from that point. You know, that whatever they're doing, they're allowing the cow to be killed. And from that conversation, I got that whatever piety or whatever organization there was, that maybe would be there otherwise.
Yeah,
but still,
can't be.
In the name of religion, in the name of God, in the name of love for Jesus Christ, they're still killing the animals.
Yeah. Yeah, he said that. Madhumati. 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 No, there's no question of religion as long as there's killing of animals like that. But at the same, this actually Lord Buddha, he came simply to stop that animal killing in the name of the Vedas. Okay. Yes.
Well, there's another situation where Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, if one of our devotees becomes the president of the United States, would he make everybody Krishna? Would he make have everybody follow Krishna consciousness? And then Prabhupada's reply was that no, he would not do that. He would encourage everybody to follow their religion.
Yeah.
And so that means, I saw with that statement Prabhupada's understanding. You know, certainly he's talking about the core principles. You know, their devotion to. So in that sense, you see, Prabhupada had a whole different idea of Krishna consciousness.
Well, Christianity has their teaching, thou shalt not kill. So let them follow. Then they'll be, you know, but to claim that they're Christians and not follow their principles is not acceptable.
I was thinking that that's a true understanding, true example of Prabhupada being non-sectarian.
Yes. Thank you. How's that? All right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I can't hear you.
All the monks in Orthodox Christianity are vegetarian, and all the nuns, Orthodox Christian, everybody who is not a priest but a monk and nuns, they are all vegetarian. And Carmelites are supposed to be vegetarian in Catholicism. I don't know about Franciscans. So some of them, large groups of them, are vegetarian.
That's good.
And there are some teachers, at least in Orthodox Christianity, that did respect Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Although the more narrow-minded.
That's only one of the teachings. That's only one of the teachings that,
yes.
I mean, Srila Prabhupada said that vegetarianism is not, we're not preaching vegetarianism, at least Srila Prabhupada said like that, now they're doing, but that's just one of the when Jesus was asked what is his most important teaching, he said thou shalt love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and the whole mind. So the devotees, they offer their food to Krishna before eating like that. So that just to be vegetarian is good, but all the teachings are there. Anyway, there's also different levels of Vedic injunctions that I was mentioning that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the purport, I mean, in his footnote, he says that he quotes this verse, Therefore, because of the different characteristics of the living entities within the universe, there are a great many Vedic rituals, mantras, and rewards. Due to the great variety of desires and natures among human beings, there are many different theistic philosophies of life which are handed down through tradition, custom, and disciplic succession. There are other teachers who directly support atheistic viewpoints. In the beginning of the third chapter of the second canto, there's a big list that if you desire this, you'd worship this personality. If you desire this, you worship that personality. And at the end of this list, then it says that if you akama sarva kama va moksha kama dharati, tivrena bhakti yogina, that if you, whether, it doesn't matter who, what you desire, actually, if you worship Krishna, you'll get satisfied. So that, we can end there if anyone has something else. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.